Welcome to Connecting Hearts. Connecting hearts of women to resources, information, and to one another. Presented by Creative Heart Studios, 18 Perry Street in Noonan. Now here's your host, Marjorie Conway.
The Joy Coordinator at Creative Heart Studio on Perry Street in downtown Noonan. And this is the Connecting Hearts Network broadcast. We will tell you a little bit more of that towards the end because it kind of ties in with what we're talking this morning. As far as guests are concerned this morning, everybody's a little bit shy, and I think maybe if I say that here, then they're going to start coming to me to show me they're not so shy, and they might get on here and talk with me because Holly and I had a fabulous time last week. But I don't want to wear her out at last minute every week. So today you get to listen to me, but that's okay. I'm going to be nice to you, I think. And I had a blog post I was going to do that I feel like is just what we need to hear today. So let's just jump right into it. I want to ask you a question. Who are you playing hide and seek from? You know what hide and seek is. That's the game that we all play when we're little, and we play with our kids, and you go out and you hide wherever you think you are. And when you're a little kid, sometimes it's kind of obvious, and somebody counts and then they come to find you because you don't want to be found. And if you're the first one that's found and touched, then you get to be it next time. I know sometimes, and I'll admit this honestly, when my children were little and they were a little rambunctious, I'd say, let's go play hide and seek, and they would run off and hide. And I would count very slowly and sometimes lose my way and start over so they'd be in just a little while longer. But we do that in our everyday lives now. And in several studies that I've been in and things this last week, some of that has actually come up. So I want to share that with you. We all have our own version of hide and seek that we play. And, you know, there's three areas we're going to talk about today that we play hide and seek with. And those all tie in to what Jesus said was the greatest commandment when they asked him. He said the greatest two commandments is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. And I typically talk to women, I'm like, and it took me a long time to learn this. How can you love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love yourself? And many of us don't. So the three areas we're going to talk about for a few minutes that we hide from is when we hide from God, which is kind of ridiculous because he knows all anyway. When we hide from other people, maybe because we're afraid to put ourselves out there, and when we even hide from ourselves, which I did for a very long time, and there could be many reasons in there. When you start in the Bible, in the very, very beginning book of Genesis, God created the earth, and he created everything in it, and we all know the story. He created Adam and Eve, and they ate from the tree, and after they had walked daily in the garden with God, then they ate from the tree. Do you know what they did? They hid from him in the bushes. They should have known him better enough to know they couldn't really hide from the creator of them and of the world. But they hid, and they hid because they were ashamed of what they had done. Their eyes had been opened, and they knew they had done wrong, and they hid from God. And that's kind of something I talk to with the kids group that I teach on Wednesday night. Our group last night was about friendship, and I'm actually going to touch on that in a couple of things that I'm going to go with on you today. But it was like hiding from God. The person who was in the story we talked about last night was amazed that God knew where he had been sitting when the friend came to find him. And we hear that from several people in, you know, the Bible. Noah didn't run away. Who am I trying to think of? Jonah ran away. Jonah ran away and ran away and ran away, thinking God wouldn't find him and make him go where he wanted him to go. And God gives us a choice on that, but a lot of times we run away. And the more we run away, the situation gets, until maybe you do like I do and you had a big breakdown. So people hide from God all the time. And what I told the children last night is I carried them to Psalm 139. And when I was talking about or praying about this last night, I came up on Psalm 139 and some tips to help you know God more intimately so you're not hiding from him because you know him well enough to do that. So you need to build a relationship with him. How can you love him more than anything else if you don't know who he is? We talk about in the counseling class that sometimes our relationships with our earthly fathers shadow our relationships with God as our father. And that is most certainly true because when I was growing up, I did not need another daddy, not like the one I had. So when they would talk about God the Father, I'd be, not that. And when they would call other Christians brother and sister, this only child who saw all of her family, siblings, aunts and uncles and everybody feuding, I don't need none of that. So God would, to me, would be like the teacher that I would go see, because I found my sanctuary at school when I was growing up. So I would go and let him teach me some lessons. And if things got really hard, I would go and say, okay, God, you got to do this now because I can't do it anymore. But we need to get to know God well enough that we know that no matter what, he is there for us. And the ways that we get to know him most is to invest in spending our time with him, praying and reading our Bible and listening to teachers and preachers. One of the instructors at some of the classes that I've taken for counseling gave some very good advice. He said sometimes we go into the room and we think that we have to fix that other person, and our job is telling that other person what they need to do, and like I said, fixing them. But that's not our job at all on anything that we do on earth. Our job is not to fix them. You know, there's an old redneck saying, I guess, or country saying that says, we catch them and he'll fix them. And our job is to catch them. Our job is to make God appealing because they see him through our lives. And then when we're dealing with other people, I can't save you. I can't fix you. I can't fix me. My job is to experience God while I'm working and talking with you. And if I'm experiencing what God has for me in it, then you're going to see it. And you, if you give him the chance, we'll experience him too. So here are a few ways to remind you that hiding from God doesn't work. In Psalms 139, 1 and 2, it says, God knows your habits. He knows when you lay down. He knows when you stand up. He knows what you're doing. So you can't hide from him if you already realize he sees everything you're doing. He knows your thoughts. In 139, 2, it says, he discerns your thoughts from afar. Even if you don't say a word, God knows what you're thinking. Right, wrong, whichever way it's going, he knows that. He knows your location. Wherever you go, he will find you. You're not, it says, down in the pits of the ocean and as far as you can go, he will still find you because he created you and this earth and he knows who you are. I was talking with someone, I don't know, it was at some time this week, I can't remember what, but they were talking about someone that they had heard, and it said that person was telling them they'd had a dream and that each of us had a fragrance all our own of God, for God, and that God knew from smelling those perfume bottles he was smelling and what they were talking about, who we were and where we were in life. And that's the way it is with God. It's like I was telling the kids last night, he knows how many hairs you have in your head. And these kids were elementary age, so last night I mainly had like 8 to 12 year olds. And a couple of them had been in church for their whole lives, but a couple of them had not. And they were amazed to think that God knows where they are and what they're doing. He knows the words that you're saying. He knows the past you had. He knows what you're doing now, and he knows the future. And it also tells us in the middle of that, that that knowledge is too wonderful for us. How can we imagine, first of all, it says wonderful, but I kind of think it's scary because we don't always think the right thing or go to the right places or do the right things. And that's part of what's going on with these kids I was talking to last night, is they were realizing God knows every bit of it. So why are you trying to hide it from him? There's no way you can hide it from him. Our next point in Psalm 139 is he knows your DNA. He knows how you were made. He knows your eye color, your hair number, your skin pigmentation, because he put that DNA into you. And he knows how many days you have, and I'm going to move through a couple of these just for a minute. But the next one is tied into Psalms 139, 17, and 18. And to know that God knows all those things about you so there's no use hiding can be scary. It can be kind of awesome. But when you get to verses 17 and 18, I'm going to read them for you. This is, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they're more than the sand. When I'm awake, I am still with you. God is always thinking about you. So he might know what you're going through. He knows the hard things. He knows you're a sinner. He knows what we do, good and bad. He knows when we do good things, but we do them for the wrong reason. So if you build your relationship with God and stop hiding from him, it's going to be a little bit freeing for you, because I remember when I was going to counseling and we were dealing with some issues, and especially where my mother was concerned in the last parts of it, I was like, honestly and very frankly telling the therapist she really got on my nerves and took advantage of me and expected me to do everything and be everything for her. And the therapist was, well, why do you do it? And I was like, well, she's my mother. And God says you're supposed to honor your parents. And she said, do you think God is going to be disappointed and stop listening to you if you do something that he against what he said? Yeah, I think he might be disappointed, but I think he already would know that I might choose to do that. And he already makes a way for me to establish my relationship back with him. In a study that we had yesterday up at the studio, and we're getting some good studies coming in up there, one of the things that was talking was about relationship and harmony. And this is going to go along with the next two parts that I'm going to hit on here, is our relationship with God once we become saved is secure. We always have that relationship. Even if we can't see him as a heavenly father because we've not progressed enough, he's our heavenly father, and he will always be there. The harmony is what gets disrupted. When we do things against him, then we're not in harmony with him. We're afraid to go talk because, you know, we're afraid of what the consequences would be. So we need to get in our minds that he's there all the time. He's there for us and not against us. And stop hiding from God so that we can be a little bit freer in the other things we do. The next thing I'm going to talk to you about is hiding from yourself. We most definitely hide from ourselves. When I started one of the studies I was doing, I invited a friend of mine to go with me. And at that point, I had stopped keeping everything quiet I'd gone through, and I was just telling everybody everything. And this friend comes up, she says, oh no, I don't want to be that honest with myself. And we don't, because we know we're not perfect. We know that there's things about us that we don't handle the right way. Things we've done we might be ashamed of. And so we hide those parts of ourselves because we can't even deal with it ourselves, you know, much less have anybody else to do it. And some of it is, you know, when we have a problem with somebody and we don't handle it the right way, well, we're afraid to go to that person and say, I'm sorry, I didn't do this right, can we please start again? And it takes a while to get to that where you can be secure enough that you can say, I messed up, and not worry about if that means that people aren't going to love you anymore or they're not going to be there for you, because the ones that truly care about you will be there even if you mess up. The other ones you didn't need anyway. So here are some things, tips to help you stop hiding from yourself and start being more authentically who you were. This is what I came up with a couple of years ago, is I was going to be authentic. I had hid stuff for so long that now I'm going to find out who I really am, and that's who I'm going to be no matter what. So the first step I'm going to give you is to stop comparing yourself to other people. When you compare yourself to other people, usually the people that you pick are fit in one or two categories. You pick the very elevated people who are at the height of something, and then you think you're not any good and you can't do as well as they do and you don't measure up to what they are. Or if you have a different personality type, you pick the type of people who are very down low so you can think, ha-ha, look at me, I do this better than them. The point is, you don't compare yourself to anybody because all of our journeys are different. The next step is don't worry about what other people think about you so much. Does that mean you can go out and do everything you want to and not worry about the consequences? No. But if you're so worried about pleasing other people, you can't do what is authentic to you, and you can't do what is pleasing to God, because you're more concerned about what they think. Allow yourself to have mistakes. I admitted in that Bible study yesterday that I have a performance flesh. When I was growing up, if I spelled all the words in the spelling bee or the medical dictionary, everybody loved me and all the family was around and they were, you know, concentrating on me and not fighting and fussing. So I felt like I had to know everything and do all these things to keep everybody under control. I admitted to them that even though I've let some of that go, I'm in classes and they'll show your transcript of your most recent classes. And I like for my transcript of my 6 most recent classes to be all A's. If a B shows up, I take some more classes really quick so I can make that B disappear and I can have all A's. And that is something I need to work on, because a B is still a very good grade. It doesn't mean that you're knocking yourself out to do the best you can do unless, you know, that's where you are. But you got to be a little bit more gentle on yourself. You got to remember your value doesn't lie in how you look. God designed our bodies. He designed us to be a different way. And just like I think everything that in this life that we have, all man has really messed it up. I know I have. I've eaten a bunch of junk food. I drink sodas. I don't exercise. Now, I never drank a whole lot. I never smoked. I didn't do, you know, illegal drugs or even legal drugs, really, except what the doctor handed me. But I let my body go down and didn't take care of it. But that still doesn't mean I'm somebody that other people should be able to walk over because I didn't take care of my body in that way. It's not how you look. And we have a lady that's going to come on and talk with us about that. About it, it's your inner beauty that shines through. It is who you authentically are. And that seems to be my word of the day. You've got to get down to the core of who you are and let that shine through. And once you raise yourself up a little bit, you will start feeling better about yourself. And then you'll be more apt to take care of yourself. You need to let toxic people go and profess your fears. It says process your fears, not profess them. It is, we keep people in our lives because we are, first we think we got to fix them. Or then we think, what are we going to do without them? If they're toxic to you and they're not willing to make any changes or do anything that's good for the relationship, they don't need to be in your life. You need to let them go and you need to not fear what's going to happen there because you're going to be all right. You are never alone. Even when it seems like you might be here, you do have God there. One thing I have found out about women is we hide behind other people. Now, I don't do this because I'm very outspoken, but some people don't want to make a decision or they don't want to be held accountable for that decision. They want it to be that somebody else is making that decision for them. So that way, they don't have to put themselves fully out there. One has to do with this broadcast that we're doing right now and what I said earlier, and it is take every opportunity life presents you or create opportunities. And I never did a whole lot of that. I stayed kind of reserved until Ryan walked in there and I decided, hey, I'm doing a radio show. And I went home and I told my husband, hey, I'm doing a radio show. And then I sent my kids a message and said, hey, I'm doing a radio show. And part of the reason I did that is because if all these people expected me to do a radio show, I was going to do the radio show and not wimp out of it. And it's like, this is the third episode. I told some friends on Saturday, I said, you know the weird thing? The way I always got away from microphones and did it, I kind of like it. It's kind of, I get excited coming in here. I'm not afraid of what's going on. When I didn't have somebody to sit in that other chair, I was, hey, we got it. And I'm wondering now if I'm going to have time to cover everything. I kind of like it. And one reason that I like it is, first of all, my word of the day is authentic. I can be who I am and tell you who I am. And luckily, I'm not really looking you in the face, so I'm not going by your body language or anything. I'm just sitting here watching Ryan make faces at me. And it's, you know, funny, but I can be who I am. I can tell you what I think about it, and I can hope and pray that it's going to help somebody and reach somebody somewhere. So I urge the people in our collective and other people, if you have an opportunity to be bold and stand out for the things that you believe in, take it. It might be a little bit scary, but you will get over that fear just as soon as you put your foot out there and start doing it. We have put yourself first and to feel pain and joy as fully as you can. And these helps you stop hiding behind things. You have to take care of yourself. If you're not having some downtime to rest and you're not reading your Bible and going to church and seeing friends that are good for you and doing things that help you revive, then you're going to dry out. And when you have, we talk about the empty cup and the full cup. And my big thing lately has been, I don't care if the cup's empty or full, it can always be filled back up if you'll go to where the source is. And you can't pour out onto other people from an empty cup. If you just give and give and give and give and give and never take time to rejuvenate yourself from it, you're not going to have anything to give other people. And, you know, I know moms and community people in the community, business women and stuff, we give a lot to other people. So you got to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and you're getting yourself fed, not with food, but with nourishment for your soul. So we can do those things to stop hiding from ourselves and to stop hiding from God. But, you know, in that verse that I read at the very beginning of it, it was love others as you love yourself. And that's another set of people that we can hide from. It is, I don't know about you, but I think I kind of really do know this about you, especially where women are concerned. we can wear our mask and keep that mask in place, and everybody will say, how are you doing? And you go, I'm fine. It's good. I'm great. I'm fine. But underneath, it's not always fine, and it's not always great. And we need to stop hiding from other women. When I started telling my story, if I mentioned adoption, I had people who were birth mothers and adopted mothers and adoptees come and talk to me about it. When I started talking about childhood abuse, people started coming and telling me theirs. When I talked about domestic violence, people came and told me theirs. If you don't hide what you're going through from other people, then what you're going through or have been through can be a help to other people. We keep our mask in place as a guard because we're afraid. We're afraid they don't really want to know how we are. We're afraid that they're going to see we're not perfect and we don't have all our ducks in a row, that we're really just faking it till we make it just like everybody else is. And I know I did that for a very long time. But when you take that mask off and you start letting people see who you really are, the right people will start coming toward you. Will some be scared away? Yeah, maybe. But that's okay. That's still those that's not your people. So you need to surround yourself with people that you feel comfortable enough to take your mask off with. Women alone has a lot of power, but collectively, women has impact. We impact all kinds of things from the background. We don't always stand up in the foreground and do it. I know there's been preacher after preacher that comes in our church and says, my wife wrote this sermon jokingly, but you know, I've known a lot of those preachers, and their wives do influence them in the background and, you know, help keep them going on the way that they need to be. I know politicians and all those people, they wouldn't get where they are if those wives weren't networking back in the background. Amen. So women always play a key role in all of society. We just don't always do it out in the front. And we think we see that person, like we were talking about comparison. We're not comparing ourselves with that person. The truth is, if we're raising each other up and we're patting each other on the back, we're going to be stronger for that. We're going to change the equation. We're going to have a lot more fun along the way. Since I started this 3 weeks ago, it's like boom, 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 boom. People have come talking to me. They want to be involved in it. People have come talking to me wanting to know more about what we're doing. People have started listening to it and going to the website and sending me messages. You know, can I talk to you about this or that? And absolutely. That's why I'm putting it all out there, so you can come talk to me about anything you have. Am I perfect and do I do it right? No. Absolutely not. And that is why I am surrounding myself with this whole network of these women for Connecting Hearts, because I do not have all your answers. They don't either. But we each have a part of the equation where we can walk on your journey with you while you figure out the answers. We take the work out of networking. I've been kind of bristling at that Connecting Women's Network, because a lot of times we think that's business. And when you have a business network, you hand out a business card and you say, okay, I'll refer you, thanks for meeting you. Well, somewhere down the line, somebody needs a plumber, you say, oh, I have this plumber's card, I can give it to them. But we're not here about networking like that. We're here, and we say this to ourselves in our group, for the sole support of our sisters. We're going to prioritize relationship building and connection building. And that's not done just by handing a card out. That's done by getting to know each other and talking with them and being available, which is something we all have trouble from doing. Seek out people you admire and ask them for advice and follow-up. And that's what I've done with this group. When it comes to spiritual matters, I've had some training, but I am by far not enough to do it alone. So I have gone to someone I know that's had similar training to mine, and we have discussed things and prayed about it, and I feel completely comfortable when she comes on, we're going to be on the same page. Holly knows so much more about physical protection and things than I ever even wanted to know, and I know when I bring Holly on, she's going to do it justice by telling you about that. I know when Pina comes on, she's going to be able to talk finances with you in a way that I do not even want to. And you know, we have a group of people out like that, and we're here for the next thing we have on there, which is amplify other women. I'm going to read this little part to you that I found. It says, I love the shine theory, which is the idea that when we help another woman rise, we all shine. So if we build other women up, and tell them, great job, you get the credit for that. It may seem like you're giving your attention away, but you're actually showing that you're a supportive person and that you're a team player and that you're there for other women. There's a thing that goes around on the internet all the time that be a woman who fixes another's crown without telling anybody it was crooked. And that's who we want to be for you. This last tip that I had written down here says find your squad and tap into them. And that's what we're doing. And we want to offer this squad to you. It says, who's your go-to group of girls if you have an emergency and need advice or a business introduction? Who helps you build relationships? It is amazing to be a part of a group of women who want the very best for you. And when we talk about the Connecting Hearts Network, that's what these women want to do. We have all agreed it is like our service project. It is not a business deal. We're not even sharing cards with each other. I feel like they're going to be taking advantage of each other's businesses and working together as time goes by and they get to know each other. But we are here, like I said, for the sole support of our sisters. And in the surrounding area, you can come into the studio and you're probably going to find two or three of us sitting in there having a conversation. But they are spread all over town. They're sending me their bios and their pictures, so I'm going to start posting them and you'll know who they are. And we are forming this collective with women from all kinds of areas to be able to be there for you. So you can take your mask off. You can walk in the door and say, I'm tired, I'm weary, I need help here. And there'll be somebody that can help you. We are very excited about things that's coming up. Like I said, they're all sending me their bios. They're all sending me their pictures. I'm going to start getting that up and getting the website up and circulating it for you. Right now, all of our social media everywhere is Connecting Hearts Network. We're going to have the website, but I don't have it yet because I didn't go do that yet. I had a headache. So we will have that information for you. But like I told you last week, if you want to know more, you can walk up and down Perry Street and open those doors until you see and say, Margie, where are you? And eventually I'll answer. But to make it easy, it's on the corner right there, Spring and Perry. And tomorrow we're putting vinyl on the door so you'll know which building it is. But we want to help you. Dana and Whitney are in there. They serve up shakes and stuff, but it's kind of like when you go to the bar and you tell your troubles to the bartender, they listen to you just like the bartender does. And there's usually somebody working in the corner and me back in my corner, and we're there for you. So women in the surrounding area, come out and see us. Come out and tell us what we can do to help you better. And if you're not in our surrounding service, send us a message anyway, because we're going to have a lot of stuff going on online that you'll be able to take advantage of too. So I want to thank you for welcoming me into you this weekend. I'm going to try my hardest to get one of them people to step into their opportunity and come talk with me next week. But if they don't, that's okay. We'll have a message to share, and we'll be glad to sit here and talk with you a little bit more. Here I am at the ending, and I never know what to do. How many seconds we got, Ryan? We are almost there. So I do tell you, check out creativehearttherapy.net. Go all over Facebook. Find us at Creative Heart Studios. We have Bible studies going on. We have art therapy going on. We got a great little gift shop. And me and Dana are about to start some professional office services back there. So we'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go on too. Thank you for listening in, and check us out next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Connecting Hearts with Marjorie Conway. Connecting hearts of women to resources, information, and to one another. Presented by Creative Heart Studios, 18 Perry Street, here in Noonan. 404-528-8461. Until next time, have a wonderful day.